Well, sounds like Charlie's got herself a dog. You think he's going to stick around? You think her mama's going to come and get her? Let's see what happens next. The next day, before Sunday school, I raced to the fellowship hall where the Garden of Blessings was up on the bulletin board. I searched the paper flowers until I find mine. The other kids had made a bunch of flowers because I guess they had a bunch of blessings, but I had only made one, and for my blessing I had written, "I am healthy," because Audrey had written that one on hers. I took my flower down, and with a purple crayon, I added, "I have a dog named Wishbone." When I got to Sunday school, I tried to tell kids about my new dog, but it seemed like nobody cared. They were busy calling out sins for Mrs. McKee to write on the blackboard. Cussing, bullying, lying, disobeying your parents. The sins were flying around that room like blackbirds in a cornfield. "Charlie," Mrs. McKee said, "can you think of a sin?" "I bet leaving your children behind so you can start a new life is a sin." But of course, I wasn't about to add that one to the list, so I just said, "No, ma'am." "What about kicking and shoving?" Audrey said. Then Howard started muttering under his breath next to me, "Pineapple, pineapple, pineapple." And maybe it was because we were in church, but a miracle happened. I was able to push my temper down and put a lid on it. I smiled and clamped my mouth shut tight so I wouldn't say anything to ruin this miracle moment. And then another miracle floated through that Sunday school window and settled on my shoulder and nudged me to say, "I shouldn't have kicked and shoved you like I did, Audrey. I'm sorry." Well, let me tell you, that took the wind right out of her sails. Her eyebrows shot up and her mouth dropped open, and then she said, "That's okay." After Sunday school, on her way to the fellowship hall, Howard slapped me on the back and said, "Good job, Charlie. I told you that pineapple trick would work." I'd been counting the minutes until the last day of school. When it finally came, I skipped up to the bus stop and in Jackie's majorette boots. I didn't care that they were hot and rubbing blisters on my heels. I strutted up the aisle to the bus and winked at those giggling girls like Jackie told me to do. "Just wink at them," she'd said on the phone one night. "That'll throw them for a loop and they won't know what to do." But some of those girls still giggled when I dropped into my seat next to Howard and handed him one of Bertha's banana muffins. "Thanks," he said. Then he broke it in half and shared and started picking out the raisins, placing them in a little pile on the seat between us. "Wishbone dug up some beans last night," I said. "Uh-oh." Howard took a bite of muffin and made a face, and then he fished a raisin out of his mouth and added it to the pile on the seat. Gus got mad. "Nah, he just sat. I couldn't let him in the garden. He just said I couldn't let him in the garden anymore." "Bertha get mad?" I shook my head. "She told a story about her cousin's dog who ate corn right off the stalks in her granddaddy's garden and got so sick he almost died." As the bus made its way down the mountain, I thought about my old school back in Raleigh. It felt like I'd been in Colby forever, and I hadn't heard from a single one of my so-called friends back home, except Carlene Morgan. She had sent me a postcard with a picture of the Capitol building where my class had gone on a field trip. "You are lucky you didn't have to go," she had written. "It was boring, LOL. Jackie told me she had seen my best friend Alvina in the movies with some girls from our Girl Scout troop. "Did she ask about me?" I said. "Nope, but I told her you were doing good," Jackie said. "Doing good? Ha! How would Jackie know? She was too busy living her perfect life with Carol Lee to think about me. she hardly ever even called anymore. One time, when I was in third grade, I went with Scrappy to the cemetery to see where his daddy was buried. We found the moss-covered headstone that read, Albert Eugene Reese. At the top, it said, Gone but not forgotten. I wasn't even laying under the cold, hard ground like that, like Albert, but I was gone and forgotten. Bertha kept telling me I should invite some of my friends from Wiley to visit me in this summer. I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but that sounded like a bad idea to me. What would we do? Watch the squash grow in the garden? Stare at Pegasus on the porch all night? Where would they sleep? Squished in my little bed with me on my Cinderella pillows? No, those Raleigh girls would not have fun in Colby. When the last bell of the day rang, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Every day I had counted the minutes until I could get back home to Wishbone. Bertha told me he stood at the door and whined for me when I was gone. That's the truth, she said. Cross my heart and hope to die. On the way up the mountain, I stared out the window while Howard told me about Burl buying a motorcycle and his mama being mad as all get out. Then, guess what? I saw three birds perched together up on the telephone line along the side of the road. Three birds on a wire was on my list of things to wish on, but it has to be exactly three birds, according to Scrappy. Scrappy's friend Ray, and that's not as easy as it sounds, so I made my wish quickly before one of them flew away. Guess what, Bertha said when I got home. She reached into the pocket of her apron and pulled out an envelope. You got a letter from your daddy. I did? I stared at the envelope in her hand. That was Scrappy's handwriting, all right. Giant, wiggly printing like a first grader wrote it. I put Wishbone's leash on and took him out front. I sat in Gus's lawn chair by the garden and stared down at the envelope. Miss Charlie Reese. If Mama had sent me a letter, which she never would, she would have written Miss Charlemagne Reese to aggravate me, and then she would probably tell me goodbye because she was starting her new life without me. I studied the envelope some more. Wake County Correctional Center was printed in the corner. Well, now, that didn't sound nearly as bad as county jail. I think folks in the county jail have to stay for a long time. But as Scrappy was just getting corrected, maybe that wouldn't take too long. I sniffed the envelope to see if I could smell his aftershave, but I couldn't. I took out the folded notebook paper and smoothed it on my lap. Dear Charlie, it's your old Scrappy Pappy here saying hello and how are you? I am fine. This place is okay except for the lumpy gravy and lousy pillow. Jackie came to visit and brought me Hershey bars and toothpaste. I bet you are having fun with Gus and Bertha. Tell them I will send you some money when I can. Love, Scrappy. I turned the paper over to see if there was more on the back. Nope, that was it. I looked at the word love. I traced the letters with my finger and then I folded the paper up and put it back in the envelope. The next day I was bored by lunchtime. I'd practiced sit and stay with Wishbone. I'd helped Bertha inspect the okra to figure out how many jars we'd keep for pickling. I'd looked for four-leaf clovers over by the back porch, but I didn't find one. Then I'd shared my peanut butter sandwich with Wishbone, and that was it. Nothing else to do. So I figured I'd ride Lenny's bike down to Howard's. I hooked Wishbone's leash on the handlebars, and off we went. When I got there, the Odoms' house was buzzing like a beehive. Cotton was making something with sticks and rocks in a small square of shade next to the porch. Burl and Lenny were over in the driveway, peering at the engine in Burl's motorcycle. Every now and then, one of them would hang on something with bang on something with a wrench. Dwight was tossing a basketball into a hoop on the streetlight pole at the edge of the yard. And Howard, I couldn't believe what he was doing, a crossword puzzle, sitting on that ratty couch on the porch doing a crossword puzzle. What kind of a kid does that on the first day of summer? Hey, he said, adjusting his glasses. Wishbone jumped on the couch next to him and flopped over on his side, panting. Hey, I lifted the hair off the back of my neck and fanned myself. It sure is hot, I said. Want to study for Bible detective? Bible detective? I almost said, are you nuts? But for once, I managed to keep my thoughts to myself, and I said, no, not really. I'll give you some of my Bible bucks, he said. I shook my head. That's okay. Then what do you want to do? I shrugged. I got a letter from Scrappy, I said. Howard sat up straight. You did? He put the crossword puzzle on the couch beside us. From jail? It's not jail, I said. It's a correctional facility. Same thing, Howard said. It's not. I'm pretty sure it is. It is not, I said so loud Wishbone's head shot up and he looked at me like I was crazy. Pineapple, pineapple, pineapple. I did not want to get mad at Howard on the first day of summer. I must admit that even though me and Howard hadn't known each other very long, he could read me like a book. I could tell he knew I was wrestling with that temper of mine again, because he changed the subject and just said, well, that's good that you got a letter. He scratched Wishbone behind the ears. What'd he say? I wanted to tell Howard that Scrappy said how much he missed me and he can't wait to come home and watch Wheel of Fortune with me again. That he was going to cook up a fancy supper for Mama with candles on the table and Willie Nelson on the radio, and maybe she'd wear that red dress he loved so much, and that when Jackie got her driver's license, he was going to let her drive us all out to the country to buy corn and strawberries at the farmer's stand by the side of the road. And then we'd go home and have a barbecue in the yard. And we might even hold hands and say the blessing like the Howard family did. But I didn't tell him any of that. I told him the truth. He said they had lumpy gravy and lousy pillows. That's too bad. I almost told him that Scrappy signed his letter with the word love, but then that would have probably sounded dumb to a boy who gets loved so much every day of his life. Hey, maybe Mama will help us make cookies to send to him sometime. Really? Sure, Howard said. Want to go down to the creek? Okay. So me and Howard and Wishbone went behind the garage and followed the narrow trail that snaked through the cool, damp woods. I loved the earthy, mossy smell of the air and the soft tickle of the ferns that bowed down along the edges of the path. Wishbone trotted beside me and stopped every now and then to sniff at a tree or root around a pile of rotten leaves. I wondered if he had been on this trail before. I bet he knew these woods better than anybody. Maybe he'd even slept under these very trees. I wanted to take his leash off and let him run free, but I was scared to. What if he decided he'd had enough of me and ran off to be astray again? When we got to the creek, Wishbone nearly pulled me in when he jumped into the clear, gurgling water. Howard and I took off our shoes and stepped from rock to rock while Wishbone leaped and pranced, sending up splashes of cold mountain water. That feels good, I said. I know. Howard teetered on the slippery rocks, and I was sure he was going to fall in any minute, but he didn't. Wishbone let out the funniest yips and bit at the water, trying to grab the tiny minnows that darted around the rocks. Look at him, we both said at the exact same time. I jumped off the rock to the edge of the creek and motioned for Howard. Come quick, I hollered. Hook pinkies.
What? Hook pinkies, I said.
We both got to wish. We do? I nodded. If two people say the same thing at the exact same time, they hook pinkies and make a wish, I said. Jackie taught me that. So Howard jumped to the edge of the creek and we hooked pinkies. I closed my eyes and made my wish. Did you make a wish? I asked. No. Why not? He stooped to swish his hand in the water, making the minnows scurry away. I don't have anything to wish for, he said. I shook my head. How could anybody not have something to wish for? I mean, even if you just wish you didn't have a wart on your thumb or that you didn't have to eat oatmeal for breakfast, it seemed to me like you could think of something to wish for. Oh, good grief, Howard, I said. There must be something. Well, actually, there is something I could wish for, he said. So he hooked pinkies again, and Howard closed his eyes. Did you make a wish? Yep. I bet I know what it is. I can't tell, or it won't come true, remember? No, you can't tell, I said. But I can. It doesn't matter if I tell. I didn't know for sure if that was true, but I think it probably was. Just don't say whether I'm right or not, I said. Okay. I wish you didn't have that up-down walk, I said. When those words left my mouth, I could practically see them hurtling through the air toward Howard, quick and sharp like razors. Howard's face turned pale as a ghost, and his eyes flicked down at the ground. What had I done? Why had I said that? More than anything, I wanted to take those sharp words back, but I knew I couldn't. It suddenly felt like everything was frozen in time, just stopped cold, dead still, like the creek water, stopped flowing and the birds stopped chirping, like the clouds above us stopped floating over the mountaintops. Even Wishbone stood still as a statue beside me. Then Howard broke through that frozen curtain of time by grabbing his shoes and heading off up the path toward the house, leaving me standing there ashamed and heavy-hearted. I sat on the edge of the creek and held myself, had a pity party. That's what Jackie calls it when I feel sorry for myself. For heaven's sakes, Charlie, she says, stop having such a pity party. But I couldn't help it. Why had I gone and said something so mean to the only kid in Colby who was nice to me, the kid who wanted to give me some of his Bible bucks and send cookies to Scrappy, the kid who let me share my troubles with him? I pictured my clothesline full of troubles and saw myself pinning up another one. I stayed there by the creek, wallowing in my pity, thinking about how this day had turned out so bad. But then things suddenly went from bad to worse. A tiny striped chipmunk darted out of a rotten log beside the creek, and Wishbone bolted after it, yanking the leash right out of my hand. And before I could even get myself up off the ground, he had disappeared into the woods. Love you, girls.